people are never going to believe me. Joseph is never going to believe me. He will think I've cheated on him, betrayed him. Maybe it was just a dream. Maybe I'll wake up in a moment and reality will dawn on me. And Dad will be shouting at me to get out of bed and come for breakfast. Yet somehow, I know it is reality. An angel appeared and told me that I was to become pregnant, have a son, and that his name is to mean Jesus. I don't think I really like the name Jesus, but the angel was adamant and claimed that the child is to be the son of the Most High God. How am I going to explain this to anybody? Lord, please help me.
I'll need to talk to Mary about the wedding. We need to set a date, start planning for the food, and check in that we have enough wine for everyone, as it would be shameful to run out of wine at a wedding. It'd be such a joyful and happy occasion for a family and the village. I'm sure Mary will be a terrific mother when we have our children, and I'll try to be the best dad that I can be.
That angel Gabriel called me the favoured one. I don't really know what he meant by that, as I've never been favoured by anyone in my life. I'm just an ordinary girl. There's nothing really special about me. And maybe I'm not the most beautiful of girls compared to some of my friends. If I am the favoured one of God, what does that mean? How will it impact on my life and the life of others around me?
I'm just so glad my parents seem to like Mary's parents. It should make our life easier if everyone gets on. My father's told me that soon I will be in charge of the family business. And that is important, to work hard so that I can provide for my family whenever it comes along. I can't imagine that one day I will have a family of my own. And when I do, I hope I can be as good as my dad.
This is not good. Joseph did not take the news too well. I don't think he believed my story. He just sat there with his mouth gaping as I told him everything the angel said.
Mary just told me she's pregnant. I couldn't believe my ears. She told me about an angel and being the favoured one of God, and that this child she was having has to be called Jesus. I thought at first she was kidding me, but her face never betrayed a smile, and I was just so...
Joseph hates me. He didn't believe a word I told him. He just sat there speechless, gaping like a big fish. Then he just got up and left the room without saying a word.
Oh, Mary, what did you do? You were so sweet and kind and noble. You were a symbol of purity for me. You set my heart leaping when you smiled, and with a flutter of your eyelashes, you had me wobbling like jelly. I longed for the day when I would be the father of your children, and that they would call me Dad. Yet, now you disgust me a little, with your swollen belly, and a child that you carry that is not mine, and you know well enough it is not mine, and you won't even tell me who the father is. All this nonsense that an angel told you that this was God's child is just your dream and an illusion to avoid all the shame that you have brought upon me and our families. I just cannot believe that there is a future for us, but I don't know what to do.
Joseph is a good and noble man. I understand he must be hurting and fearful for the future. I hope and pray that he will stand by me, because I don't think that I can do any of this on my own.
Mary decided to leave town and visit her cousin Elizabeth, while Joseph stayed at home and wrestled with what he should do next.
Poor Mary, who's gone off to visit her cousin Elizabeth. Maybe Elizabeth will talk some sense into her. All this will bring shame on our families. Yet, what if this is true? And an angel really did speak to Mary? What if we have indeed been chosen to help bring God into the world? There'd be no shame in that, would there?
Elizabeth understood. She is also pregnant. Even though she's way older than my mum, she said her baby leapt in her womb when I arrived. She affirmed me and told me to trust God, that Joseph will soon understand.
I dreamt a strange dream last night, like an angel appeared and spoke with me, told me not to be afraid and to marry Mary and to name the child Jesus.
And so it came to pass that Joseph and Mary had a son, and they called him Jesus. They loved each other and loved Jesus because of who he was, Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen. beating about out here. I was having a doze in the cave. Have I missed a lion?
Oh, Eunice, I don't know what to tell you. There was a sky full of singing scathars.
Oh, come on, Barbara. You expect me to believe that?
It's true, Eunice. Cross my heart and hope to roast. Have I ever pulled the wool over your eyes before?
Nope, I've got to admit you've never fleeced anyone.
Well then, do you believe me?
I'm trying to, but a sky full of singing stars?
That's what I saw, Eunice. Big, bright, brilliant baritones bursting with boisterous bellowing.
Forget the poetry, just tell me what happened.
All right, there we were. Barney, Stew, Agnes, Mint Sauce and the Mob.
How did he get his name?
Don't ask. There we were at the end of a quiet evening, spinning a good yarn, when all of a sudden the star pops up and starts speaking.
Well, I'll be sure.
No, he's away filming just now.
Oh, yeah. But are you sure it was a star?
What else could it have been? It shone, it was up in the sky, and it was beautiful.
But stars don't normally speak. And how big did you say this star was?
Oh, billions of miles across, if you count the gas cloud. But then it's hundreds of light years away.
No, you woolly wally, the one that talked to you.
Oh, well, it's hard to say. It felt really close and looked a bit like a human. But it could have been a world away in the size of a galaxy. You know how it is with size. Some things are small, some are far away.
Something from a world away coming close.
I mean, if you hold your hoof up to your ear, you can block out the whole Milky Way.
Something vast becoming human.
But anyway, it certainly was a special sight. Made my wool stand on end. You all right there? You look like you've seen a shearer.
Barbara, I think they were angels.
Wow. I saw something on earth that lives in heaven. Now that's something.
And angels are messengers. From heaven, from the great shepherd. What was their song about, Barbara?
Oh, something about good news from heaven coming to earth and, oh, about joy to all people. Well, I stopped listening about then. There was no mention of sheep. There never is.
Barbara, the great shepherd sent angels and you didn't listen. That's bad. Have you wool for brains?
Well, I didn't know it was angels. I just thought it was singing stars. That was enough to be amazed at for one night.
Looks like there might be more happening tonight, though. Look, the shepherds have stopped washing their socks. They're coming over.
Quick, look casual.
The shepherds must have seen the angels too and heard the message. I think we're heading down to Bethlehem. Maybe we'll find out what heaven was telling us here on earth after all.
Maybe we will.
Well, it's certainly snug in here, Barbara. We're fair rammed into the stable.
Yes, so many have herded in here to see the singing stars. Sorry, angels. See what they were on about. I just bumped into a donkey from Nazareth. He heard some strange stories.
What's brought him here? He's a long way from home.
He brought the humans. Well, he brought the big ones, the woman and the man. Something about taxis, I think. Though I didn't think a donkey was big enough to be a taxi.
Taxes, Barbara. I've been chatting to Chops from in town.
These townies? Chops? What kind of name is that for a sheep?
Tongue in cheek, I'd say. Anyway, he said that lots of extra humans have flocked into town just now. Something about paying taxes to keep the roads and water and soldiers. Including these two from Nazareth. They came late and had to sleep in the barn here.
I blame the donkey. He ought to have shifted his backside faster.
Anyway, that's not the most important bit. Chops says the most amazing thing has happened.
The singing stars?
Even better. Something else from a world away coming close.
Ooh, you've given me goosebumps.
Something vast becoming the size of a human.
What did he see? What did he say?
A little baby. That little baby over there. Just born tonight.
And you think that's more earth-shattering than a sky full of singers? I saw something on earth that lives in heaven. Now that is something.
That is something. But I think here in this stable is something even more amazing.
Yeah. How's that?
Here's something from heaven that lives on earth. Here's the Creator, made small and lying in a feeding trough.
Something from heaven, here on earth. You can't top that.
Thank you.
it's Christmas time, and three camels that carried the Magi to Bethlehem that first Noel have come together to celebrate the 25th anniversary of that event. They've not seen one another since the Magi returned to their respective homelands so many years ago. During the interim, many changes have taken place in the world and in each of their lives. Each has grown older and hopefully wiser. They've returned to Bethlehem for one last time to share their memories of that fateful trip and wonders that they witnessed. Let's listen to their conversation.
You know, fellas, I didn't think much of this reunion idea at first, especially when an ordained voice said, "I have an idea." I spent a lot of time deciding if I wanted to make the journey again at my age, although I'm told the new is 40 or 30 or whatever. Now, I'm glad that I decided to come.
Me too. It was a lot easier this time without that £350 Melchior on my back. With all of the gold and heavy gifts he was carrying, it took all of the energy I had to get us here. Hassan, what have you been doing since we last caravaned together?
Since I've been retired from public life, I spent most of my time lying around, resting, eating, being groomed and catered to by the members of my herd. I do travel occasionally when the urge strikes me, no cost of course. I have my own stable, lots of staff to do the work, plenty to eat, healthcare and dental services provided. I'm set for the rest of my life whilst others pander and support me.
You're a politician. I always knew you'd run for office one day.
It's good to be the commander. Tell us, Bin, what have you been doing since we last met?
Oh, I drifted for a while, and I joined up with a troop of gypsies, traveling the countryside. I learned a lot about music and dance from them. We'd sit around the campfires at night, play music, and take turns entertaining one another. I do a pretty mean two-step for a camel, along with impressions of famous people. I sing some too. You know, my real name is Benjamin, but now I pronounce it Benjamin.
Very good. Don't give up the day job.
Hang on, I got my best line, yeah? Because that's what me do. Me pal Harry taught me. Say it right. Me a dromedary.
Very good. How about you, Ali?
Right now, I do consulting for a camel caravan service. When a large caravan is planned, they call on me to teach the new camels how to march, follow in a straight line, and develop their leadership skills. That was elephants. Anyway, our motto is, the view is always best when you're the lead camel.
I can testify to that. Being the youngest camel, I always was last in the line. Just imagine how things looked from my perspective. I had speed and ambition, and that's why I always tried so hard.
I guessed as much. When we were coming here the first time, I was second in line behind Hassan, with you following me. You kept crowding me, trying to get ahead on the narrow trail. I mentioned it to Hassan one time, and he asked me to look back at you and tell him what I saw. I told him you were speeding up and falling real close. Your nostrils were flared, your tongue was sticking out, and your right ear bent to the side, and your eye was blinking. Hassan asked me which eye was blinking, right or left. I told him the right, and he said, "Yep, better get ready. He's signaling to pass."
And I did too. But Hassan ordered me back to my original place. It's hard being a one-humper dromedary. It's hard to get ahead in the caravan game.
The thing I remember is following that big shiny star. Navigation was easy after dark. All I had to do was keep my ears glued to the star. It was a long and difficult journey, cold at night and sweltering in the daytime.
There were lots of hills too. Sometimes I wondered why our riders were so determined to get to Bethlehem.
That's what that King Herod wanted to know, wasn't it? Remember how he kept us at his palace while they tried to get that information?
Yeah, fortunately Balthasar and others were suspicious and managed to sneak us out of there after dark.
I'll never forget our arrival at Bethlehem the following night. The star led us to a manger where a human child had been born.
Made me wonder too. I thought they were looking to find a king like Herod, not a baby. But I was glad to have all those heavy gifts on my back.
Do you remember how peaceful and quiet it was when we arrived? There was a sense of something wonderful in the air. It was like some great event had taken place, and we were the only ones allowed to see what had happened.
I felt that too. I remember the great joy that our riders showed when they first saw the child. It was as if that baby was the most priceless jewel they had ever encountered. I surely did. I was close to hear them talking. They spoke how the birth of this child had been foretold and that he was born to be a saviour for his people.
Did you see the tears in his eyes when they knelt down and offered their gifts to him?
I sure did. And don't forget the shepherds. They kept coming in a few at a time to worship the child. Oh, do you remember singing? I was certain there were shepherds or some others singing words of praise. Must have been my imagination. I heard Melchior say that this child was a king and would bring peace and love to the whole world. That's quite an accomplishment for so small a child.
That's for sure. I wondered what the Romans and King Herod would have to say about that.
Remember, a few days later, when they were preparing us to leave for our trip home, as evening approached, Balthasar took a short nap so he would be rested when we started home after dark.
That's when he had that dream, isn't it?
That's right. I heard him telling the others that he had a dream that warned him not to return to tell King Herod about the child.
Oh, so that's why we took a different route home. They were afraid Herod might harm the child out of jealousy.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if that child, born in a manger, really could come to be the saviour of the Jews, the Gentiles, and ultimately the world, as our owners believed?
It would indeed. Imagine a place of peace and love. A place without cruelty, wars or hunger. A place where all creatures, even camels, would be blessed.
We have many things to think about, and it's getting late. Let's call it a night and get some sleep. We can talk some more in the morning.